listening to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
I'm Jared Wadley. As many as 1 in 3 women reported being sexually assaulted at some time in their lives. The experience can have long-term effects and can become a factor in post-traumatic stress. University of Michigan expert Mickey Spurlick has conducted research on post-traumatic stress on women during their childbearing years. As a researcher and certified midwife, she has helped sexually abused women realize they aren't alone in coping with these challenges.
When working as a midwife, I wanted to find out more about the experience of my survivor clients. So we did a survey project where we interviewed many, many women, survivors of sexual abuse, and asked them about their experience of pregnancy, their experience of labor and birth, postpartum, breastfeeding, bonding, different issues around mothering, with as far as discipline or protectiveness, dealing with the gender of their child, that sort of thing. Women that we studied were all women who self-reported a history of sexual abuse and were mothers, obviously.
Spurlick says several factors can trigger post-traumatic stress.
You can have flashbacks or an unwanted memory that kind of comes unbidden is one of the hallmark features of post-traumatic stress. And because childbearing is a sexual experience, it can be evocative of prior sexual experiences and also prior negative sexual experiences. So being in a position of relative helplessness, for instance, in a gynecological exam situation, can be very evocative for a woman. Being told, for instance, in those situations to put her legs apart or whatever is can remind you of when you were being abused and what you had to suffer then. Whereas a lot of women have this impression of pregnancy as being sort of very rosy and a wonderful time, if you've been abused and you're feeling sort of colonized or invaded by this little being and you're being asked to do things that are very evocative of past abuse, and you may be having problems also with vomiting or just general discomfort. All of these things can remind you of things that happened to you in the past.
Post-traumatic stress often affects how mothers raise their children.
Many women have sort of one of two responses, either being extremely overprotective, sort of hypervigilant, which is also another feature of post-traumatic stress, the hypervigilance, in terms of trying to care for their child and sort of micromanage every aspect of their life and keep them absolutely safe from harm and protect them from potential perpetrators. And on the other hand, you can have women who are more prone to dissociative episodes or what they call dissociative fugue, and that's also a feature of post-traumatic stress. So they are not necessarily watching or being vigilant about what's going on. So some of those children might be in a different situation where they're not necessarily getting the care that they require. And not every woman who's a survivor is going to have any of these problems, but for some of the women, the problems can be quite severe.
So what resources can help these victims
address the needs of women, but also in the context of the medical community being educated at the same time about how to be sensitive to survivor issues and how to really work with women around these issues. To be able to not just ask them, have you ever been assaulted, but to have the follow-on questions ready. Okay, how does that affect you now? And what are some things that you know might be triggering to you that could come up in our care together that we could maybe modify, make certain accommodations for, or prepare you for, and how can I best help you with that? So the resources need to be collaborative and involve both the women and their care providers.
Spurlick notes that her research is important to help women break the cycle of violence. These findings appear in Survivor Moms, Women's Stories of Birthing, Mothering, and Healing After Sexual Abuse, a book she co-authored with UM professor Julia Singh.
We can't prevent everyone from becoming abused. Sometimes it just happens. But you can teach your children how to be safe, how to seek help when something does happen, and to understand what are good and healthy boundaries. You know, one of the things I've always told my clients is that I don't think there's anything more important for the life of a child than the mental health of his or her mother. If we can intervene with these moms, help them to get into recovery and get the help that they need to work through some of these past issues, then we are going to be hopefully preventing a whole host of problems with their children and their children's children.
Sperlich is a researcher at the University of Michigan's Institute for Research on Women and Gender.
This has been a production of the University of Michigan News Service. Visit us on the web at www.umich.edu/news.